As soon as you say Pacific, you think Navy. But most people don't know that 7 of the 10 largest armies in the world are in the Pacific. Now, they don't realize that 5 of our 7 mutual defense treaties happen with our neighbors in the Pacific. We have 36 partner nations in the Pacific, and 34 of them have militaries. It's very important for U.S. Army and U.S. Army's presence there in the Pacific.
Does it matter that there's this perception that it's Navy, not Army? Or does that even concern you?
It doesn't. I mean, our folks know and our soldiers know that we have engagement opportunities all the time in the Pacific. My chain of command knows that. From Admiral Willard at PACOM all the way through my senior leadership here in Washington. It's a perception that most people, once again, they hear Pacific and you think Navy.
Meanwhile, your speech topic here at AUSA, because you're going to be giving a talk, is about the future of engagements around the world, shaping operations around the world. Tell me about that.
Well, I think that engagement is one of the best ways that we can have to engage with our nation partners. Each one of our partner nations really understand the United States Army. They really respect the United States Army. Most of them don't have navies. Most of them don't have air forces. But they do have army forces.
So they get it.
They get it. They're always interested in all the lessons learned that we have had throughout these 10 years of war. We carry those lessons learned to them, like counter IED operations, for instance, which is one of the biggest things that they want to really see and understand and learn before they have to experience something like that.
Is that new, the counter IED operations? Is that sort of a new development in the past 5 to 10 years?
Well, it's definitely the past 10 years. It's something that we didn't really consider 30 years ago when I started in the military, but in the last 10 years, it's become the weapon of choice, and we have learned some great lessons over those 10 years, hard lessons learned, and we'd like for our allies and friends not to have to go through that.
And I was going to ask if that's something, it's a strange way to put it, but best practices that you're able to share with other militaries
That is exactly right. But not only that, but we have exercises, both joint exercises and bilateral exercises. We have medical subject matter experts. We have engineering subject matter experts. All of these things build partner relationships and build better opportunities for us to engage with our neighbors. We like to say it's better to go by, with, and through than find, fix, and finish, which is the operational side of what we have to do. If we can keep these engagements going, if we can continue to build and talk and understand each other's cultures, understand each other's way of life, I think you have a better opportunity to deter war rather than to go to war.
Or have to figure out how to end it once you have gone.
Well, exactly right.
So how does that then shape operations as a whole, to have those relationships? Is there a step-by-numbers, a paint-by-numbers process for that?
There really isn't. There's no cookie-cutter solution for any one of our partner nations. Each one is different. Each one has a different culture. There's over 1,000 languages in the Pacific. And the cultures are varied and different, and they are at different stages in their military, particularly in their armies. So we take each one individually, we build, and we continue to engage. Each one is important. Once again, not only going to the partner nation, but our partner nations also come to us. It's a mutual respect, and I think it continues to build.
How do you handle that when you have 1,000 different languages in that region?
Well, we have some great people. I mean, just incredible young people who really cannot do this and really understand that. They study, they work, we put them through a process, and I have what I consider an elite group of folks who can not only understand the culture, but we've got some really good language experts also. Some of them were born because we're an immigrant society. Some of them were born into those languages, and being native speakers, they're really terrific, and they help terrifically.
And I would think that the process would then build on itself as you develop these relationships with these communities and in this region, then you can have more people help you with those languages, with those cultural barriers.
Well, that's exactly right. Many of these countries speak English. Quite frankly, their children grow up and learn English. And I'd like for our folks to be able to do that much more. But I
understand. They speak English better than we speak.
Yeah, most definitely.
Fill in the blank.
That is absolutely true.
We are talking with Lieutenant General Francis Wierzynski. He is the commander of the U.S. Army Pacific. So what is happening now in Japan in the Hinoko area of Okinawa? Update us on how things are going there.
Well, for us in the United States Army, we've had our presence in Okinawa for 50 years. And it is an incredible experience for those young soldiers there in Okinawa. Most of our force in Japan is in Okinawa, although most people don't realize we have 13, 14 different installations.
Again, you think
Japan.
Navy, you think Marines.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Even the size and depth and width of Japan, if you don't understand the Pacific, you don't understand how big it is. If you overlay Japan on top of the United States, Hokkaido, which is the northern island, sits on Maine, and Okinawa is down in southern Arizona. Most people don't understand that, and that's just one nation in the Pacific.
And that's just one part of it.
That's just one part.
So the Army's chief challenges then in the Pacific, you hit on a couple of them, but what are some of those challenges? How are you going to overcome them, and what are your goals? What do you want to accomplish?
Well, the first thing is the tyranny of distance. We're talking about 9,000 miles across. We like to say Bollywood to Hollywood.
The tyranny of distance.
And the tyranny of distance. It takes a while to get anywhere in the Pacific. Hawaii itself is probably the most isolated island in the world. It takes 5 hours to get to my nearest organization, and that's Alaska. Mm-hmm. So if you start to look at how far it is to our partner nations, that's why it's so important to be forward engaged, to have not great force, but enough forward that you can react and do the things that you need to do early on if something should occur, both either natural or man-made. And we have three separate headquarters to be able to do that, that can respond immediately to any one of those challenges.
So when you talk about natural or man-made, you're talking about emergency situations where you can be deployed quickly.
Exactly.
But the tyranny of distance is...
Well, and I'll give you a great example.
Okay.
Day in the life of U.S. Army Pacific, March 11 and 12, the great earthquake in Japan with the tsunami and then the follow-on radio active incidents that occurred with the plant. That same day, we had a headquarters in Japan already pre-positioned. So immediately, we were able to assist with the Japanese Ground Self-Defense Force. Simultaneously, we flew our contingency command post from Hawaii to the Philippines, and simultaneously, we're conducting a joint exercise there called Balakatan.
Mm-hmm.
Simultaneously, in Hawaii, we were working with our Army National Guard and Reserve brethren on a hurricane exercise, so we utilized our headquarters JTF Homeland Defense. And then in between all of this, we are deploying and redeploying soldiers into the fight, both in Iraq and Afghanistan. So that's one day in the life in the Pacific.
So that actually leads me to my final question. We got about a minute and a half left. How the Army then works with other armed forces under PACCOM, because clearly you have relationships.
Well, exactly. PACCOM is so different because of the fact that Admiral Willard has all his component commanders right there in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
That's different than any other COCOM commander. We interact and interchange with each other all the time. My Marine Corps brethren, Navy, Air Force, even Coast Guard. And we're right there together. So I think we have great synergy. We have great the ability to be together and to coordinate and to synchronize together. But then with all the partner nations and all the exercises that occur in the Pacific, we're constantly moving to the next exercise, to the next engagement to ensure that that continues to build and grow.